The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And good morning. I'm Gary Randall. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's Wednesday, April the 24th, 2024, in the year of our Lord. On April 24th, 1995, the final bomb linked to the Unabomber exploded inside the Sacramento, California offices of a lobbying group for wood products industry. It killed their chief lobbyist, Gilbert Murray. Theodore Kaczynski. Ted Kaczynski was later sentenced to four lifetimes in prison for a series of bombings that killed three people and injured 29 others. Today in 1877, federal troops were ordered out of New Orleans, ending the North's post-Civil War rule in the South. And today in 1915, in what's considered the start of the Armenian Genocide, the Ottoman Empire began rounding up Armenian political and cultural leaders in Constantinople. Today, 1961, in the wake of the failed Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba, the White House issued a statement saying that President John F. Kennedy bears sole responsibility for the events of the past few days. Today, 1962, the MIT achieved the Massachusetts of Institute of Technology, achieved the first satellite relay of a television signal between Camp Parks, California, and Westford, Massachusetts, and a whole new way of transmitting pictures and sound came into being. Today, in 1980, the United States launched an unsuccessful attempt to free the American hostages in Iran. Remember that? A mission that resulted in the deaths of eight U.S. servicemen. It was a fiasco from the get-go. President Jimmy Carter was overseeing that. He desperately wanted to get the hostages out of Iran, as we all wanted to see happen, but he was unable to do so. Interestingly enough, soon after this date, Ronald Reagan was sworn in as President of the United States. The day that Ronald Reagan was sworn in as president, Iran released the hostages. Today in 1990, the space shuttle Discovery blasted off from Cape Canaveral, Florida, carrying a $1.5 billion Hubble Space Telescope. Interesting, I think, every day, Washington, D.C. launches something with billions of dollars attached to it. They never stop spending. But I guess we got something for that. At least we got a satellite with a mirror and a camera on it so we could learn more about the universe that we live in. Federal government and state officials ought to rebuild America's heartland by driving waves of masses of immigration to the region. Washington Post has an editorial out this morning. The editors of the Washington Post wrote the story. Washington Post, as you know, is owned by Jeff Bezos. Amazon Jeff Bezos. Anyway, the editors feel that they have a plan to solve some of America's problems. Rather than putting incentives in place to increase birth rates or entice residents, by the way, that just reminded me, I saw a story earlier this morning. I see a lot of news before I go on the air here. I mean, I look at a lot of it. I'm deciding what to talk about sometimes, and sometimes I'm deciding what not to talk about. But I saw an article. I didn't copy it, but I just looked at it in a list of a whole bunch of other stuff. But in South Korea, they are now going to be paying couples, I could be wrong on this, but I think it was $36,000 or something like that, to have a baby. I don't know if you get one for every baby you have as a married couple or if it's just the first one, but they're wanting to increase their population. Population decline is the decline of a nation. I mean, history proves that. But that wouldn't be so bad. But nobody in America would probably want to do that. I don't know that it would actually work out well. But I'm pretty sure it's South Korea that announced that, and it's in the news today, that they're going to be paying couples in the country, I think it was $36,000, to have a child. But that's interesting because that's the opposite of what the Washington Post is talking about on this particular issue. They said rather than putting incentives in place to increase childbirths or entice residents to stay, the Washington Post editorial board writes that the government should use mass immigration to spike population in middle America. In other words, keep what the Post is saying, and that fits with their philosophy, I suppose. They're saying keep the borders open and just keep the people coming. Doesn't matter if there's terrorists or whatever. You know, we'll deal with it at the time, and everything's going to probably be okay. I mean, that's their attitude. But they're saying that we should just use mass immigration and herd these people into the Midwest of the country, and that'll solve our decline of birth rate. Well, I'll tell you, despite the Post editor's suggestion, do they not know? I'm sure they know, but they're just ignoring it. But I had to ask myself, do they know that President Joe Biden has already increased the foreign-born population to 51.4 million people? That's the largest ever recorded in American history. In Biden's first 3 years as president, he grew the foreign-born population in America 6.4 million people. By comparison, in 1990, fewer than 20 million foreign-born residents lived in the United States. I'm not suggesting that foreign-born people shouldn't come to the United States. They should come legally, and they should come through our system of checks and background checks and all of that kind of thing, and they should learn a little bit of the history of America and all the things that we did without really questioning it for so many years until recent years, where we just threw open the borders and gave away to who knows who they are. Certainly our Washington, D.C. doesn't know. Our president doesn't know. He doesn't have a clue. But we opened the gates and said, here's the most beautiful, most powerful, most blessed, most generous nation in the history of the world. You can have it. Just do with it what you want. That bothers me. I suppose you've noticed that it bothers me, but it really does. It's not only about us having a good country. It's about stewardship of what God has given us. I believe it comes down to that, and I believe we are miserably failing by not voting, by voting for people who will take this country down the wrong path. It's really a problem. Victor Davis Hanson, I follow him very closely. He's probably the greatest, probably the most knowledgeable historian currently in America. He posted on Twitter, on X, he said, why does Biden play Iranian poker with American and Israeli lives? Answer, he says, he envisions a war sort of like, excuse me, we forgot to unplug one of the many machines sitting around me that is not supposed to be active when I'm on the air. Anyway, Hanson said the answer to that, he said he envisions war sort of like affirmative action, in which the less accomplished belligerent is allowed all sorts of concessions for the sake of equity. That pretty well sums up what we are experiencing here in America today. That's what it's, I guess, all about with the left. I've been following the United Methodist Church and their descent downward Over the last several years, I've talked about it on this program. I'm not a Methodist per se. Some of my family were in the past, and my wife's family as well. But I followed the history of the Methodist Church because it made such a tremendous impact over the years, not only here, but in Africa and elsewhere around the world. I saw Methodist churches and Methodist congregations when I was working in missionary work and was in Africa and other parts of the world. But particularly, I remember in Africa, there were very, very strong Methodist churches there. And it was a very strong, very biblical organization. And there were thousands, I don't know the number, but thousands and thousands, maybe millions of Methodists just in Africa alone. So as the Methodist Church, the United Methodist Church, has started its descent into chaos, I have followed it with great, great disappointment. I've seen the Presbyterian Church go down that path. So have you. We've seen other churches go down that path. We've seen some church denominations not necessarily make public statements to that effect, but they have changed their path, their course, and they have maybe not blessed the whole LGBTQ plus blah, 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 whatever movement. They may not have blessed some of these denominations, blessed other issues that are clearly in conflict with the Bible, but they've grown silent. They refuse to address the issues. And when asked, they say, well, I'm not going to get involved in politics. God called me to preach the gospel. I've been told that by pastors who are friends of mine, who pastored, one of them in particular, pastor a huge church with enormous influence. And we really had some discussions about it because I loved him. He was a brother. But man, he said, I just can't address issues in the church. And I said, who's going to do it then? And he said, I don't know, but it's not going to be me. Well, I think that has helped get us to where we are today. We need to stand for righteousness, not just in a safe place, quietly in a church building somewhere. That's important. But we need to stand for righteousness and for godliness and for biblical truth in the culture. And the United Methodist has purposefully decided not to do that. They've decided to become part of the world rather than to address the world. And that was hardly the mission of John Wesley, I can tell you. John Wesley saw the Methodist movement as a return to the original life and faith and experience of Christianity. He wrote about that. He wanted to return to the faith of the apostles and the early church to find that same dynamic quality of faith and life that the early Christians had. So Scripture had a place of central importance in Wesley's teaching and preaching. And now the Methodist Church has turned its back on Wesley, but more importantly, on God's Word. What's left of the United Methodist Church has chosen its first African-American woman president. She's expected to help officially usher in this leftist long-awaited amendments to their book of discipline. They're in the news. They will be in the news over the next couple of weeks because they are officially adopting a whole new path for their church. The church that John Wesley founded or helped create has become confused. They've lost their way in the darkness of our times. They've rejected the straight gate that Jesus spoke about and embraced the wide and broad ways that lead to destruction. Every one of us will choose a path for our life, collectively as churches, as a nation. All of us will make that decision. We will have to decide, and we probably have decided, which path we want to walk down. United Methodist Church is making that decision. They've made the decision. They're in the process of executing it as we speak. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life. and few there be that find it. That's Matthew chapter 7. Well, that's directed toward individuals. Churches are groups of individuals. The Methodist Church has had such an impact on the world through its missionary outreach. Millions of people have come to Christ and come to faith in Christ through the efforts of the Methodist ministry. Now they have chosen a different path. As I said, they're not the only one. The Presbyterians have gone down that path and split and started new churches. And thank God the conservative biblical Presbyterians have formed and emerged as a new organization and other churches. Now the Methodists. But they've chosen a different path. Well, the discussion has been ongoing in the past several years. It appears the leftists have finally gotten what they wanted, the denomination. The United Methodist Church will soon finalize its left turn toward the wide gate and the broad way. It's interesting. American Family News said yesterday that over the last 2 years or so, about a quarter of the denomination's congregations have bolted over its increasingly unbiblical take on sexuality. Mark Tooley, I think he's a Methodist, but Mark Tooley he's very well informed on the Methodist Church. I'm pretty sure he's a Methodist himself. But anyway, Mark Tooley is very conservative. Mark Tooley of the Institute for Religion and Democracy says that the heresy will become official policy at the UMC annual meeting in May when Bishop Tracy S. Malone takes the helm. In the next 10 days, the church's governing general conference meets in Charlotte, North Carolina. For the first time ever, they will liberalize the denomination's teachings on marriage and human sexuality, Tullia said. The new president, he says, fully supports those changes. She would be conventionally institutionalist and theologically left of center and will be very comfortable when the church officially liberalizes its sexuality teaching. In a recent interview with the Christian Post, speaking of the new leader of the Methodist Church, Malone, who is that leader, Tracy S. Malone, Bishop Tracy S. Malone, in this conversation with the Christian Post, she voiced her desire to help the church become more inclusive. Does that sound familiar? More inclusive and grace-filled. Inclusive is a buzzword for sexually liberal, Tooley points out in his conversation with American Family News. He said, the irony and the tragedy is inclusive for church usually means less inclusive, less diverse, and faster declining. That's exactly right. That's what's happening to the church in these last days. In fact, David Jeremiah, many of you listen to him. I think he follows me on ACN, on those ACN stations. And he's been talking about that for quite a while, the end of time and the churches and so on. He's been talking about the church in decline. And the Bible predicts that in the end times, churches will grow cold and they will step away from God. They will step away from the path that they have been on, which is the right path. And they will walk in the wrong path. They'll grow cold in their spirit. They'll lose that fire that Wesley preached about and others preached about in the past. I strongly agree with what Tooley is saying. Malone told the Christian Post that it was, quote, an honor to be elected by my colleagues. She called it an historical election. That's a testament to the church's commitment to celebrating diversity, she said. Diversity is generally a code for affirming that which God condemns. That's been my experience. I will continue to provide leadership to the church that inspires hope, helps to unite the United Methodist Church. Unite it. It's broken in 1,000 pieces. She said, I'll work to unite the United Methodist Church in our collective efforts to becoming a more inclusive, grace-filled church. Malone hopes to champion efforts that will help deepen and expand our commitment to discipleship, to mission, to equity, to justice in the church and in the world. That sounds like a secular club talking, strengthening equity and justice isn't going to change the world. Justice follows spirituality. It follows righteousness. And righteousness is adhering to the Word of God. If you're not adhering to the Word of God, you're just another... I'm not calling them a cult, but I mean, that's what cults do. The leader comes up with a new plan of belief system and a new worldview, and away they go. And we know how that ends every single time. She said the mission of the church has not changed, the commitment to making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Transformation to what? Malone's installment as the president follows the disaffiliations of thousands of these congregations. And that's what we've talked about over the last, I don't know, couple of years. I've talked about it several times. But there's been a race to disaffiliate with the church. Thousands of congregations, literally, have left the UMC denomination in 2022 and 2023 because of the disagreements over the stance on basically on homosexuality and its place in a Christian's life. The UMC Book of Discipline labels homosexuality now incompatible with Christian teaching and prohibits the blessing of same-sex unions and the ordination of non-celibate homosexuals. I'm quoting from their Book of Discipline. That will all change, of course. I'm reminded that Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." I think that's what we're seeing take place before us today in our culture. All these ways seem right. We've got a bunch of people running around the country in the name of the Lord, selling books and promoting all kinds of ideas. There's a new book out there I saw promoted the other day by one of the authors. It's kind of new age and out, but he's always hanging around the evangelical circles because people, they buy his books. And he's got this book out there, and it's, I can't remember the title, but it's about there is no hell. There cannot be a hell. And I don't need to read the book, and I'm not going to, and I don't suggest you read it. But I don't have to read it to know what he's going to say. He's going to say, how can a loving God condemn people to an eternal hell because of a moment of failure in their life called sin? That's the whole, and they write these books, they sell books, they have these conferences and so on, and people come and they take notes and all of this kind of thing. And Satan laughs because he's destroying the family, he's destroying individuals, and he's destroying the church. The church on earth here, not the invisible church of Jesus Christ, the spiritual church, but the denominations and the churches. In 2019, in a special session of the General Conference, delegates voted to add paragraph 2553 to their Book of Discipline. I mention that only because it created a temporary process for churches to disaffiliate over the debate. Well, they have. And according to numbers compiled by the United Methodist News, more than 7,600 congregations, mostly all conservative, were granted disaffiliation from 2019 to 2023. 7,600 congregations. I put a link to that in an article that I wrote today on our website, faithandfreedom.us. And you can read that and you can get more information if you're interested. I know there's a number of Methodists that listen to this program because I've heard from you in the past, and your heart is broken over what the church has done and where it's going. But this number of departing congregations included 250 churches from Malone, this new president of the church, the denomination, from her East Ohio conference. That represented more than a third of the regional body's member congregations. So she's been a leader in the whole movement to disaffiliate churches that didn't agree with this new path that they've taken, this new interpretation or lack thereof of the Bible. Tooley says the number of members in the United Methodist Church, he said, it used to be 11 million in the United States. Now it's down to perhaps 4 million. Tooley says, and he's well informed, and as I said, I think he's a Methodist. He said, I would expect the denomination will not exist in its current form 10 years from now. Last October, as a part of an event held by the Church of the Resurrection of Leawood, Kansas, Malone said that her conference's annual meeting felt like a revival after the churches left. Once they got rid of the people that believed the Bible, once they got rid of them out of the church and those congregations out of the denomination, the new leader said it felt like a revival after the churches left. There was a different spirit in the place, Malone said. She said it felt like everyone could breathe. We were tired of fighting, tired of all the conversations being dominated by separation, disaffiliation. People were tired, and the conference was ready and is ready and has already forged ahead. It may feel like they were forging ahead, but they're walking through the wide gate, the broad gate. They're abandoning the straight gate. They're slouching toward Gomorrah. And they either don't know or don't care. They walk in darkness. And when we look at all of the issues that are pressing, that are so disappointing and discouraging at times in our culture, from public education to entertainment to the church of all things, we say, why are there so many problems now? The problem, it's simple. The solution to the problem at its core is preach the gospel. Share the gospel and speak to the issues of our culture. That's what the church is called to do. Preach the Bible. And if you preach the Bible, share the Bible, speak the words of the Bible, it solves the problems because it solves human individual problems. It is sin that is taking us where we are in our culture today. You can look at any aspect of the culture. It all seems to be in decline. And now the church is stumbling along on this slouching toward Gomorrah path. Boy, I'll tell you, if I were God, I wouldn't be so gracious. Obviously, I'm not. I'm just passing through. I'm a pilgrim with all the rest of you. But man, we've just got to get our act together. We've got to recognize that God is God Almighty over all things. He created the universe. He rules and reigns over the universe. And to the degree that we give him the authority in our lives and we submit to God and his word, things will get a lot better. But if we don't, we'll continue on the path that we're on. Pray for America. Thank you for being with me today, and thank you for your support. We need it. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.